We have had a privilege so far of being able to talk about marriage and how it is the hub of the home. We've talked about joy, which is often a missing ingredient in our homes. And then we've also last night talked about integrity and how integrity is essential in our home if we're going to affect for good the next generations. Well, tonight we're going to continue our family life series, and we're going to talk about something that is very important, and that is the area of boundaries in the home. As I've been saying the last couple of nights, I hope that you have a pen and paper handy and ready to take notes. I hope you're taking lots of notes and writing down maybe other ideas that you might have, etc. And as I mentioned before, we may not cover every issue that you are facing, but again, I want to encourage you to reach out with any questions that you might have. Now, along those lines, let me say that as we talk about boundaries in the home tonight, I realize that your boundaries will not end up being the same as the boundaries that I have placed in my home. But I want to remind you that we should not judge one another by one another, but rather, as the Bible says, we should be fully persuaded in our own mind. After all, we are all going to stand someday before the judgment seat of Christ. And that's why we ought to think about, pray about, and act on this area of boundaries. And along those lines, I want to remind you as well that the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 3 teaches me as a pastor that I am not to be in any way or act in any way as if I were a lord over you. That is not my job. I am not your lord. You will not give an account to me someday. However, that same verse teaches me that I am to be an ensample to the flock. In other words, I'm to be an example to you. And so tonight, as we talk about this area of boundaries, I'm going to lean on that responsibility that I have to be an example to you. We're going to talk about some principles in God's Word, but then beyond that, I'm also going to go beyond and talk about some areas in my home where the Lord has led me and my wife to set boundaries in our home. Now, you may not have the same boundaries or believe in the same boundaries that I will have, but here's what I'm going to ask of you. As your pastor, I'm going to ask of you to prayerfully consider the things that I say. I do believe that they will help you, and I do believe that your home will be better for them. But it's up to you to do what God has for you. Just remember this, you will stand before Him, so make sure that you are fully persuaded that what He wants you to do, you are doing. And along those lines, I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. Psalm 19, we're going to look at verses 7 through 11 for our text for tonight's lesson on boundaries. I've titled it, Boundaries, the Source of Security in Your Home. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11, talks about the law of God. And in verse 7, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." Now notice verse 10. Within the context of God's rules, His boundaries, notice what He says in verse 10. "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." And then verse 11, "Moreover, by them," by God's laws, by His statutes, by His boundaries, "moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." God's boundaries for us have great benefits for us. And I want to submit to all of us here this evening that as a dad in my home, as a parent in your home, you will want to, and I will want to in my home, have boundaries. And I'll want to have boundaries in my home, and you'll want to have boundaries in your home that will be a blessing. That as our children, as we as adults, stay within the boundaries that we have set, that we will be blessed because of that. We'll talk about that tonight. Let's pray as we begin. Dear Lord, I thank you for the wonderful opportunity again to talk about the home, and Lord, specifically this area of security, the boundaries that you would have us to place in our home. Now, Lord, I'm asking you to anoint me with your power. Lord, to anoint me with your spirit that I might speak your word to your people, that I might even give them good advice that will help them. Lord, I pray that your hand of blessing would be on this time. Keep my mouth closed where it ought to be and open my mouth where it ought to be opened. Give all of us ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to think about if I were to look through this camera from my end and look through and see into your home. Now, I can't do that. Don't worry, I haven't hacked your smart TV. But if I could do that tonight, I know what I would see if I were in your living room or in your house. Here's what I would see. I would see walls. And I'm glad that I would see walls, and you're glad that I would see walls, because those walls are a boundary around your home. They provide security. They provide protection. One of the blessings of walls when you're raising a toddler is you can relax just a little bit with that toddler in there, because you know that while the door is closed and while the walls are there, that toddler's not going to run out into the street and get hit by a car, right? We're glad that those walls are there. They serve a good purpose. They keep you warm in the winter and cool in the summer, et cetera, et cetera. Those are the benefits of walls. And I want you to think of those walls as simply boundaries. And so as we think about boundaries, I want to begin the lesson tonight, as I've done the last couple of nights, by asking questions of you. So please hear these questions. First of all, is your home a place of peace? We alluded to that just a little bit the second night when we talked about joy. But is your home a place of peace? Second question, does everyone in your home know what their place is and how they are expected to act? Does everyone in your home know what is expected of them and how they're to act? Number three, how do you feel in your home when your children are there? When you have a day off and you're around and the whole family's together and your children aren't there, maybe it's a rainy day and the children are inside, how do you feel? Do you feel stressed out? You feel like you wish it was a school day, and like the Christmas song says, mom and dad can hardly wait for school to start again? Is that how you feel? Or is it a time of joy and peace? That moves along then to the fourth question, how do your children feel when they are at home with you? Are they frustrated? Are your children, when they're home and you're home and it's the day off or whatever, and you have a family day together and it's rainy outside, are they grumpy? Question number five, what is the look that your children most often have on their face when they're in your home? Is it a smile or is it a frown? Is there a lot of whining in your home? Is there a lot of complaining and misery? Question number six, how do you feel, and this is a convicting one, I think, for all of us, how do you feel when you're taking your children out in public, i.e. to the grocery store, to church, to grandma's, to a restaurant? How do you feel taking your children to a public place? Are you on edge? Are other people on edge when your children are around? Or is there a quiet confidence that your children will be in control and will not make you or anyone else feel uncomfortable? I want you to think about, some of you will remember a couple of years ago when we had a blind man who came to our church for a while. He would sit right down here on my left in the front, and he had a service dog with him, a seeing eye dog. And I want to remind you of the fact that that man would sit right here, and all through Sunday school and all through morning church, that dog would sit very, very quietly underneath his chair, not move. People could walk by, people could run by, there could be different activities. I could be up here yelling and pounding the pulpit. That dog would not move. Wouldn't it be a blessing if our children could do that? And friends, I would encourage you that they can. Now, I want to assure you that I know what it is to have children who struggle. There was a time I can remember back when my wife and I were early on in our marriage and early on in our ministry. I was pastoring a church down in New Mexico, and we were having a missionary in our church that weekend. And on that Saturday night before the Sunday service, my wife and I and our little son, probably about a year old, Daniel, We went out to a restaurant called Cotton Patch, great restaurant in Clovis, New Mexico. And as we sat there at Cotton Patch, Daniel began to throw things on the floor, the crayons that the lady, the waitress had given him. He began to take his fried okra pieces and chuck them wherever he desired to chuck them. And I, with an embarrassed look on my face, would try to stop him, and Rebecca would try to do it, and he would get louder and louder, and we were embarrassed, and that missionary had more guts than I probably would have had. He looked at me and said, "Pastor, I'd like to recommend a book to you." And he recommended a book to me that I read, and that book helped me a lot in getting my child under control and, listen, giving my child boundaries. With that illustration in mind, if of the above questions that I've asked you, if you had to answer negatively to any of them, or perhaps most of them, there may be this one detail that's missing in your home, and that detail is the area of boundaries. It may be that the reason you're on edge when you go to Cotton Patch, like me, is because your children don't know where the boundaries are. And I want to encourage you that you need to set boundaries, and they will be a source of security for you. And so that leads me to another illustration. I remember that when I was in Bible college, I had several teachers, but there were two that stick in my mind. And I'm not going to name their names because they might be watching. But I had two specific teachers and that stick in my mind. And one of them, I loved the class. Another of them, I could not stand the class. And the one whose class I really enjoyed was very, very strict. And they were known throughout the college as somebody that you didn't want to mess with and somebody that a lot of people didn't like. I loved this teacher. The other one was a teacher that you really didn't know what was going on in the class. You didn't know what was expected. There might be a quiz today. There might be a test today. If the teacher was having a good day, you might pass. No matter how you did, it might be graded on a curve, it might be graded straight up. You never really knew. The other teacher, the one that I liked, stood up and what really the first day of class and said, "Listen, this is what's expected of you on such and such a date. This is due on such and such a date. This is due on such and such a date. We'll have this test. Now, if you don't turn in this paper, your grade is going to be docked by 5 points. If you are late on this paper, your grade is going to be docked by another 5 points. If you don't score above a such and such on the test, you're going to fail the class." And this teacher said something to this effect: "Does everybody understand what is expected of you in the class?" And we all nodded our head in agreement and probably gave some form of an affirmative answer. Well, I liked that class because, listen, I knew what was expected. The boundaries were set. There was no chance of complaining, misery, or whatever. I knew what the boundaries and expectations were, and it made for a good class. The other teacher, now I passed the class, but I never really enjoyed it because I never knew where the boundaries were. Does that sound familiar with your home? Could it be that in your home, the kids are grumpy and complaining and whiny and all the rest because they don't really know what's expected? The rules change from one day to another, depending on how mom is feeling, depending on how dad is feeling. And when you go out to a restaurant or you go to grandma's, nobody's quite sure exactly how far they can go. And so the kids go far enough until mom finally loses her temper and throws a fit in front of everybody. What that will do is that will produce bitter children. Let's move on, and let me give you some reasons why we should have boundaries. Number one, because God is a God of boundaries. Think about that for just a minute. Our God is a God of boundaries. We already read Psalm 19, 7 through 11, and where it is talked about all of the commandments, statutes, the laws of the Lord, and how they're perfect and right, and how they rejoice the heart. God is a God of boundaries, and God is very clear about His boundaries. Therefore, you and I should be clear. And I would say this: by providing our children boundaries and applying those boundaries, we are preparing our children. Let me put it to you this way: we are training our children And that word ought to sound familiar. Remember, train up a child in the way he should go? When we apply and provide boundaries, we are training our child to be a follower of Jesus Christ and his word. We're training them that when God says no, don't do it. When God says do something, you do it. And by the way, we are training them to be a prime candidate for salvation. We cannot force them to get saved. We cannot talk them into getting saved. We cannot convict them of their sin. But by training them about rules and boundaries and expectations, we are making the soil ready for the seed of the Word of God and the Spirit of God to do His work, and they will be prime candidates for salvation. Let me give you a second reason why we have boundaries: to provide safety from dangers that are outside. Remember the illustration I gave about the boundaries of your walls and how they keep toddlers in? Well, guess what? They also keep out bad people in your home, right? Well, other types of boundaries do the same thing. They will provide protection from outside influences. And believe it or not, there are major bad influences in this world today. They also provide safety from someone trying to come in. And then number four, and this is important, and I think this is really what got my mind going in this direction for this study, boundaries provide a sense of security in which adults and children can thrive. Boundaries provide a sense of security in which adults and children can thrive. There is a certain television show where a man is called by people who are having trouble with their dogs. Some of you will know what television show I'm talking about. And this man will come to their home and he'll see this dog. Maybe it's a large dog, maybe it's a small dog, maybe it's a medium-sized dog, and the dog is out of control. It's wild, it's nipping at everybody. Maybe it's bitten three of the kids in the household, and you know they're afraid it's gonna bite the neighbor, and then the dog will have to be put down and all of this. And I've watched that show a couple of times, and I've watched as this dog trainer, as this expert comes in, the dog's attitude automatically changes. As soon as this man grabs the leash, the dog's not perfect, but the dog does understand there are certain things I can do and certain things I cannot do. And the man who is the dog trainer says that the reason the dog changes when he's around is the dog understands that that man is, as he puts it, the leader of the pack. And that there are expectations of the dog. And by the way, I've used some of the things that that man has taught with my own personal naughty dog named Charlie. And he's right, it works. When the dog knows what is expected, when that is enforced, then the dog settles down and actually the dog is happier. This man says that the dog oftentimes is lashing out because the dog is tense and insecure. Now let me apply that to your children and my children. Could it be, and I think the answer is yes, that sometimes when a child is acting out, when a child is doing wrong, when a child is angry and frustrated and yelling and all of these things trying to get attention, sometimes it's because they're tense, they're insecure, they don't know what the boundaries are, and they're just miserable in that situation. The answer is yes, friends. You see, your children will be happiest when they have boundaries, and then your children will be miserable if there are no boundaries. Now let me give you some ideas of boundaries that you may want to set in your home. Do you remember how I began the lesson tonight? Remember how I said that some of this is going to be me leaning on my calling as a pastor to be an example to you? Well, this is that area. Here are some ideas of boundaries that you may want to set in your home. Number one, you need to set boundaries of expectations. In other words, what is the role of each person in your home? Now, we're going to talk about that a little bit tomorrow night. That will be the title of the lesson. But what are the roles of each individual? For instance, your children. What expectations do you have for them regarding chores? Should they clean up their room? Do you care if their room is a mess? Do you care if they leave dishes all around or, you know, leave their toys in the middle of the living room floor? Let me encourage you to care about those things, right? Everybody will be happier if the home is tidied up and picked up. But what expectations do you have of them? those need to be laid out for them. They need to have boundaries. They need to understand, for instance, that if their room is a mess by 9 o'clock in the morning or whatever, that there are consequences. Whatever time you may have that you say, I want your bed made by this time, and obviously make it age appropriate, but they need to know that. Also, what are the expectations as far as authority structure in your home? For instance, mom and dad, obviously the child's to obey, but what about older brother or older sister? Does older brother have the ability and the authority to be able to correct the younger sibling and to say, hey, don't do that, do this? And do you as the parent expect them to obey the older sibling? I can't decide that for you. No one else can decide that. That is up to you. But you know what? That ought to be clearly laid out. That ought to be a boundary that everyone understands. Is older brother or sister allowed to tell younger sibling what to do? Give them boundaries regarding expectations. Let me give you another one. Give them boundaries regarding technology. This is a newer one in our day and age. What are the boundaries that you have with technology? For instance, computers and iPads and all the rest and cell phones. What boundaries do you have regarding the uses that device can have? For instance, what websites can they go to? Are you okay with them going to YouTube? And please tell me that the answer is no. Are you okay with them being on such and such an app? You need to set those boundaries. They need to know what things are okay, what things are not, what times they can have technology. In other words, is there a time of the day when they can be on technology and a time of the day when they can't? Is there a limit on the amount of time that they can be in front of a screen? Here's another one that I would encourage you to think of. Fathers, let me encourage you to think about this with your home. What are the places where your children can use technology? For instance, are you okay with your child taking an iPad into their bedroom? You need to decide that. You need to set boundaries. You need to let them know you're not okay to take it in here. Are you okay? Here's something a little bit more obvious. Are you okay with them taking it into the bathroom? Are you okay with them being on a computer or an iPad or something like that when no one else is around? Friends, you need to think through those things and have boundaries, and those boundaries need to be laid out. And then let me say this about technology. This is, again, one of those areas where I'm going to lean on my pastoral duty to be an example. Please, 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 please do not use technology as a babysitter. Let me say that again. Please do not use technology as a babysitter. It breaks my heart when I see a young child of a couple years old or 3 years old or 5 years old, and the parents are doing something and they don't want to be bothered, and so they give the kid a screen as if that's an opportunity then for mom and dad to be able to do things because that's the only way the child can sit still and be quiet and not be an annoyance. Friends, if you need technology for a babysitter so that you can get work done, then something is broken. And I would like to help you with that. I can help you with how to train your child to sit still or to play quietly. Did you know that it is possible? It's possible for you to be able to do things as an adult without little Johnny or Susie having to have a screen shoved in their face. When we do this, we are teaching our children that the only way to be content is if they have technology in their hand. And friends, even secular child experts are preaching to us, not just telling us, they're pleading with all of us as human beings to take the devices away from our children, to not let children become addicted to the screen, because children are becoming addicted to the screen. And child-rearing experts, even the lost ones, are telling us that children need to know how to deal with boredom. Did you know it's okay for a child to be bored? In fact, child experts tell us that that's actually when their mind begins to engage the most. Is if they're left to themselves and told, listen, you play quietly here, you're to stay within these boundaries, But you don't need mom to entertain you. You don't need a cartoon to entertain you. You entertain yourself. Here's a paper and some crayons. You entertain yourself. And child experts, even the lost ones, the secular ones, will tell us that that actually helps the child. Let me encourage you with that. The third area of boundaries that I would encourage you to consider are boundaries of obedience. For instance, they need to understand boundaries on how many times you must give a command before you expect them to obey. And I'll give you a hint. The correct answer is one. How many times do you have to tell your child to do something before they will obey? Also, regarding obedience, they need to have boundaries on what tone of voice you must use before you expect to be obeyed. You realize that when your child does not obey and you raise your voice, that you're actually training your child, and there's that word training again, you're training your child to only obey when mom gets loud and sounds frustrated. Rather than that, set the boundary to where when I tell you to do something, I'm going to tell you one time, and I'm going to tell you in a calm voice that you can hear, but I'm not going to yell. And if you don't obey, there will be consequences. There needs to be boundaries set. A fourth area of boundaries is activity. In other words, boundaries regarding what activity is okay within the house versus outside. Are you okay with your children running inside? Now, my dad, I think he thought that was the unpardonable sin. I'm not sure, and he's in heaven now, so I can't check with him. And I'm teasing, obviously. But I can remember my dad not allowing us to run at all inside. Now, I've loosened that a little bit in my home, especially in the winter and on rainy days. But there needs to be boundaries set within your home. That's your business. Only you can decide what those boundaries are. But what about things like wrestling also? And if you've got more than one boy especially, you know that that is a boundary that needs to be set. Are you okay with the boys wrestling a little bit inside? And if so, where and under what situations and all of that? That needs to be clearly laid out. What activities are okay in the home? And what activities have to be done outside. Boundaries regarding what level of volume is okay. Are you okay with your children yelling in the house and screaming and laughing really loud? Again, those are your business, but the children ought to know and lay those out real clear. Boundaries on where a child is allowed to go in your home. Again, my parents, I think back about the fact that my parents did not allow me in their room unless they sent me there for a specific purpose. Again, that's not an area where I've had boundaries with my children, but I do require my children that if they're going to enter into my bedroom, they must ask first. But what about other areas? Do you have a certain room that you don't want them entering into? What about their siblings' room? All of that should be clearly laid out. You should also have boundaries on what your child is allowed to touch in your home. Rather than child-proofing your home, let me encourage you to home-proof your child. Teach your child what things are okay to touch. Listen, you ought to be able to have a vase of flowers on the coffee table if you want. Little Johnny and Susie do not need those set up. They don't need them put away. They need to be taught, you don't touch that. And if you struggle with that, let me encourage you again, seek my help. I'd be glad to help you with that, okay? And then number five, here's an area of boundaries that I would encourage you to think about. The area of standards. The area of standards. Now, here's what I mean by standards. For instance, boundaries on what clothing is okay. Now, when the children are young, when they're 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, 5 years old, it's a little easier because you just tell them what to wear. But you need to early on set boundaries on what clothing is okay, because once they get to be a little bit older than that, and especially into the teen years, if you don't have those boundaries clearly set, you'll have a battle on your hands. So set the boundaries early. Make that important distinction early. Now let me give you some guidelines to use. Number one, for boys, clothing ought to be, number one, modest. I want you to think about, why did God give us clothes? God gave us clothes to cover our nakedness. So guess what your clothes ought to do? Cover your nakedness. And let me ask you to do me a favor, if you would, and if you want my help with this, I can help you. But study in the Bible, what does God consider nakedness? Not what pastor thinks is nakedness. What does God say is nakedness? And their clothes, boys included, not just girls, boys should cover their nakedness. It should be modest. And then let me say this. Boundaries on what clothing is okay for boys, their clothes need to reinforce that they are of the masculine sex. Let me say that again. The clothes that your boys wear need to reinforce the fact that they are of the masculine sex. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 22. Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 5. Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5. Here is a verse that is oh so very important for us to remember. And in the day and age in which you and I are living today, this verse is, I don't know if it's ever been more important in my lifetime. Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. How does God feel when a man dresses like a woman? Well, the Bible says that whoever does it is an abomination to God. God hates it. How does God feel when our boys wear something that does not reinforce the fact that they are of the masculine sex? Make sure that your boys dress like that. Now, that's your job as a parent to make that determination. Does this reinforce the fact that they are a boy? Is it obvious to everyone who looks at them, because they're wearing this, they're not a girl, they're a boy? Which leads me then to girls, that the same thing is true for girls. You need to set boundaries in your home. What are your girls allowed to wear? Number one, it ought to be modest. Number two, the clothes that your girls wear should reinforce the fact that they are of the feminine sex. What that means is they ought to look like girls. Now, this is an area where I'm going to share with you my opinion on that. And again, I'm going to ask you not to let me be your Lord. I'm not your Lord. But I am given to you as an example that you should at least consider. And because I'm your pastor, I'm going to ask you to at least consider the standard that my wife and I have for our home in this area, because I think in our day and age, it's becoming ever more important. And when we look at verse 5 of Deuteronomy 22, and it says a man should not wear that which pertains to a woman, and a woman should not wear that which pertains to a man, we've made the determination that our girls are not going to wear pants. Now, when it comes to bedtime, we let them wear pajama pants to bed. That's a standard we have in our home, but as far as in public and even around the house, we don't do it. Why? Because we want to reinforce to them and to everyone around them, they are a girl. And one of the interesting things that I find in our society today is that when somebody who is biologically a girl wants to transition to be now a boy, automatically she puts on a pair of pants and cuts her hair as short as possible. And when a guy that's biologically a guy wants to be a girl, he grows his hair out long and he puts on a skirt, almost without fail. And yet this seems to be an area where sometimes we struggle and we wonder, well, I don't know, I think it might be okay this way and okay that way. I would ask you to consider the fact that you ought to have some boundaries in this area. You ought to think about it, pray about it, consider what I say, and I don't think you'll ever regret if you take a strong stand in this area and say, because God hates it when a man dresses like a woman and a woman dresses like a man, I'm not going to ride the edge and get as close as I can without crossing. I'm going to set the boundaries even a little bit tighter than I have to, because I want to bring honor and glory to God. I hope that you'll consider that. But you ought to have boundaries in your home regarding those standards. How about this area of clothing as well? You should have boundaries about what clothing is okay for church services. That's a thought, isn't it? What clothing are you okay with your children wearing to a church service? I can't help but notice that in our church services, not just in our church, but in other churches as well, clothing has gotten very casual now. And people say, well, I'm just going to my father's house. And that's fine, but you're not going to your father's house to just sit back and put up your feet and drink a cup of coffee like I used to do with my dad. You're going to your father's house to worship your holy and reverend father. Therefore, you ought to consider what clothes are okay or not okay. What boundaries are okay as far as clothing for sports, etc. That's something that you need to decide. Another area of standards that I would encourage you to consider boundaries in is what music is okay. Are you okay with your children listening to secular music? And if so, what types are okay? What about if you only allow Christian music? What types of Christian music are okay? Again, if you want considerations on those things and opinions, pastors are full of opinions, you can always ask me. But I would encourage you to think through those things, pray through those things, and set boundaries for your children so they know this is what is allowed, this is what's not allowed. Let me give you one more area of boundaries regarding standards to think about, and that is the area of how to treat the opposite sex. If you're raising little boys, they need to know, what are you okay with as far as their interaction with girls? Now, again, I would encourage you. In fact, within the church, I somewhat kind of enforce this when I see it. And that is, I encourage even little boys, do not touch the girls. That is a bad habit to get into. So my opinion personally is that you should tell your boys, hey, you don't touch girls that are outside of your family. Same thing with girls towards boys. But beyond that, what are you okay with? What are you not okay with? Think through those things and make it clear to them before they're a teenager, before they hit puberty. Let them know this is what's okay and what's not okay. Here's another area of standards, boundaries that you need to think about. What about a daily schedule? A daily schedule. You need boundaries about bedtimes. Boundaries about bedtimes. Keep your bedtimes age appropriate, and then enforce the bedtimes. In other words, if your child is 1 and 2 years old, they ought to have a specific bedtime. I hear from parents all the time that say, well, I have a hard time getting my child to go to sleep, and so they just kind of fall asleep whenever they can. Now, obviously, it's your home. You get to do what you want, but without realizing it, you're shooting yourself in the foot. This is one of those areas where if your child is grumpy or if you have a hard time controlling them, this might be one of the linchpin areas of your home, that if you will begin to institute a regular bedtime that is enforced, that let's say it's 8 o'clock or 8:30 or whatever it might be, and at that time your child is taught and trained, you go to bed, you don't come out, you go to bed, and you go to sleep, that might completely change your home. Them getting that good night's sleep. In fact, I would submit to you that it will. You need boundaries about what times they are to wake up. You need boundaries regarding television time, when it's allowed and when it's not allowed, etc. We talked about that a little bit. Boundaries regarding video games, the same thing. And here's another area regarding daily schedule. You need to have boundaries regarding a nap time. When your children are young, give them a nap. My mom, of course, raised 9 children. I'm the youngest of 9. So my mom had a little bit of experience when it came to raising children. And when my wife and I were young in parenting and my mom came to visit, one of the things that my mom graciously and with tenderness preached to us is she said, you need to have a nap time for those kids. You need to set up a time. So what we did is we set up a time. I think it was 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And I think it only lasted until they were about 5 years old, maybe 6 years old. But up until then, every day at 1 o'clock, mom told them, all right, Daniel, Abigail, Caleb, right, the rest of them, When it was that time, it's time for your nap. And they would go and lay down, and we trained them to where they were to go into bed. They turned their fan on, so they had a little bit of white noise to help them drown out the other noise in the house. They were to climb in their covers, lay on their pillows, and then they didn't have to necessarily fall asleep, but they did. But they were required to lay in bed. And inevitably, they would fall asleep. And then about an hour later, they would be laying there, and we'd check on them, and we'd say, okay, you can get up now. And it's amazing how their attitudes began to change. It's amazing how they began to have a smile on their face a little bit more. It's amazing how mom enjoyed the fact that the kids had a nap time. So she had an opportunity to get things done around the house without having to worry about whether or not the toddler was trying to stick a fork in the outlet or something like that, right? She could actually focus on other things. And let me encourage you that could be one of the areas where it will change your home life in ways you can't even imagine. Number 7 area of boundary that you will want to consider is the area of attitudes. Attitudes. This is an important area. Your child needs to understand the boundaries that you have regarding their attitude. They absolutely, this is essential, they must learn to control their attitude if they're going to be a blessing to others and a glory to God. They must learn how to control their attitude. So what attitude will you allow or not allow in your child? Are you okay with a child being grumpy and letting everybody else around them know that they are grumpy? Are you okay with your child being sassy when they're in a bad mood? Are you okay if your child is angry or pouty or irritable? All of those areas, friends, if you will begin to train your child that, listen, this is not accepted, you will not be allowed to have that attitude in the house, and if you're going to be grumpy, if you're going to be pouty, then listen, you can go straight to bed. But we're not going to allow you to hang on to that attitude. Everybody has a bad day from time to time, but you need to know how to control your attitudes. And if you'll work on disciplining and training attitudes, it's amazing how the other little things will fall into place. So let me encourage you to have boundaries regarding what attitudes you'll allow. And again, it's all in the realm of training. So here are some important notes about boundaries. We've already given you some areas to consider boundaries in, but here are some important notes about boundaries. Number 1, they must be clearly laid out. Clearly. There can be no confusion as to what the boundaries are. Lay them out there. Make them clear. If you want happy children, they need to know what is expected of them. There can be no doubt what is expected. They must know clearly what is expected. And obviously, with each child, as they grow, those expectations can get more and more extreme, or that's not the right word, but specific. That's the word I'm looking for. They can be more specific. With younger children, obviously, you're going to have to use generalities. But as they get older, you can lay out very specific expectations, but they must be clearly laid out, no confusion. And then also, regarding being clearly laid out, they cannot change on a whim. They cannot change on a whim. And then let me say also, only lay out boundaries that you are willing to enforce. If you want to breed irritability and frustration and other bad things in your home, then have boundaries that you're not willing to enforce. Lay them out there, preach it real hard to the kids, make a big deal out of it, and then ignore it. What you'll end up with is children who are angry and frustrated and upset and have no respect for mom and dad. Don't do that. They must be clearly laid out. And then number 2, they must be enforced. We touched on that a little bit already. But to not do so breeds confusion. It breeds resentment. And here's how you can enforce boundaries. Number 1, enforce them with control. Don't fly off the handle. In fact, let me encourage you to set boundaries that are so small that when those boundaries are broken, you're not all that upset about it. And you can train them by that to take care of where the boundaries are. For instance, if I had a little child that's about, you know, 2 years old, and I wanted that little child to understand, hey, we're going to grandma's, and at grandma's house, grandma has some things that you are not allowed to touch. She's got some nice pieces of glass figurines that are on the coffee table. And I say that because that's what my grandma had on the coffee table. And you're not allowed to touch those, Johnny. So here, Johnny, we are going to practice. And I would set something out that Johnny really wanted to touch, whether it was a popsicle or whether it was a, you know, a baseball or something like that. And I'd put it out on the coffee table and I'd say, now, Johnny, you're not allowed to touch that. And when Johnny went to touch it, I would just very clearly and gently say, no. And then I'd give Johnny a little slap on the hand. And then when Johnny didn't touch it, I'd reward him with something. I'd either pat him on the head and say, good boy, way to go. I'd give him a handshake or a fist bump, or I might even give him something like a Skittle or an M&M or something like that that Johnny really liked. But something to reinforce, this is what's expected. And I would fight the battle in the small area so that when it comes time for the big area, the battle's already won. So let me encourage you to enforce those boundaries with control, not flying off the handle. Enforce those boundaries with kindness. You know that you can enforce boundaries with a smile on your face. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to be a jerk. You don't have to yell. You can tell them, Susie, you're not allowed to do that. And because you disobeyed, here's the punishment. Now, I love you. I'm not angry at you, but I want you to understand you've crossed the boundary. Therefore, there is a punishment to be had, and here's what it is. You can do so with kindness, but you must do so with consequences. There have to be consequences for disobedience. They don't have to be severe. They don't have to be anything that's terrible. And obviously, each situation is different. And I would encourage you to talk to me privately about what you might have questions about in that area. But listen, there must be consequences. And can I encourage you that yelling at your child is not a consequence that you should enforce? Giving your child the cold shoulder and kind of in a passive-aggressive way punishing them by silence is not the type of consequences I'm talking about. Being frustrated and taking them by the hand and jerking them around are not the kind of consequences that I'm talking about. Friends, God has better things for us, better plans for us on how to train our children. And we ought to do better than that. And again, I can help you if you have questions. But then also, you need to enforce boundaries with consistency. And that word right there is a word that you ought to take and with real big letters on your notes, write that word across the whole page. Consistency. You cannot have boundaries without consistency. If you do not have consistency, if you do not enforce the rules that are there, then you will have confusion and anarchy. You'll have frustration. You will have all kinds of things like resentment and confusion. And then also, here's another important note about boundaries. Mom and dad must live a life of boundaries as well. Obviously, the boundaries are going to be different than the kids have, but mom and dad need to demonstrate to the children, listen, I have boundaries too. And here are the boundaries that I believe God has set for me. And look, son, daughter, you have boundaries that I've set for you, and I have boundaries that I believe God has set for me. And so together, son, daughter, we walk in submission to our authority. So set those boundaries. So that leads me to the final part of the notes, and that is, how do you institute boundaries in your home? If you've listened to this lesson and you've thought about, boy, we need to do this, we need to institute boundaries, the temptation might be to just real quick grab the kids together and say, all right, kids, here's what you've been doing wrong, this, 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 and this, and you rebels, you're going to stop doing this, 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 and this. Let me encourage you not to do that. Let me encourage you, number one, to pray. How do you institute boundaries? Number one, pray. Number two, mom and dad should sit down together and they should agree together as to where the boundaries should be. Let me say that part again. Mom and dad need to sit down together and talk through these things and agree together on where the boundaries should be. Now, dad, you should take the lead on this. Mom, you should let dad take the lead on where the boundaries are. God has said, that the man is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church. So let the husband take the lead. However, husbands, can I encourage you to be humble and recognize that your wife, in most cases, understands more about where the weaknesses in your home are than you do. Because she's there on a day-to-day basis, because she works with the kids, she probably understands their personalities a little bit better. And so if you are wise, although you are taking the lead, you are humbly seeking the counsel of your wife. And you're saying, what do you think, sweetheart? Do you think this is a good boundary? Let's agree together on this. And if a decision has to be made and there can't be an agreement, then Dad, you make the decision. But take into great account what your wife says, because she has some wisdom being there with the kids every day. But Dad, take the lead. Number three, if the kids are younger, explain the boundaries clearly as you go, being very consistent. In other words, with a 2 or 3 year old, you're not going to be able to sit them down and say, all right, Johnny, boy, you've been a rebel and we're going to straighten up and, you know, we're going to run a tight ship from now on and you're going to knock it off and you're not going to do this. Don't do that, okay? But with a 2 and 3 year old, once you've laid out those boundaries, then as you go, you train them. You teach them where the boundaries are, and you work with consistency, and you work with kindness and a smile on your face and joy and rejoicing, but you work in those areas. And then number four, if the kids are old enough to understand, in other words, maybe your kids are 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, etc., then once you've decided on the boundaries, let me encourage you to sit them down and go through what the boundaries are. Lay them out there. Talk about what's okay with music and what's not okay in music. Talk about what areas of technology you're okay with them being a part of and what areas you're not okay with. Talk to them about how you're going to expect them to act around the opposite sex. Talk with them about standards regarding dress and things like that. Talk with them about attitudes and what you will allow and what you won't allow and bedtimes and all the rest. Talk with the older kids, lay it out there, go through them, help them to understand. And then this one is important, write the boundaries down. Write the boundaries down. And then post them in a prominent place. Now, it may not be on the refrigerator, but it might be on the refrigerator for a little while. Because as you're changing, as you're going through a new phase and you're learning new rules, listen, you need those posted in a prominent place. I've complained to the church a little bit about how here in Madison, they've changed the speed limit on our main thoroughfare, East Washington Avenue, going through town. And I thought that was so ridiculous to change the speed limit. But you know what? One of the things I've noticed is a week or so before the speed limit changed, they put up a sign that said, starting next week, there's a new speed limit. And they had that sign flashing out there for a week. And then the day that they began enforcing it, they had the new sign out there with the new posted speed limit and 2 orange flags on every single sign that had that new speed limit on it. Why did they do that? Because they wanted everyone to understand, this is what's expected of you. Now, the sad thing is, they still don't enforce it. But you can do better than the city of Madison. You can lay it out there, and then you can also enforce it. And then the third thing about if your kids are old enough to understand is live consistently by the boundaries and enforce them. Now, tonight, as I mentioned, we've talked about some things. We've talked about some things where it's clear in God's word what's expected, as in, you know, that we should dress modestly and things like that. We've talked about some things where pastor gave his opinion, and that's all fine and good. I want to remind you with all of that, I am not your Lord, but I do want to be an example to you. And I want to encourage you to prayerfully consider where God wants you to have the boundaries in your home. This much I do know, God expects you to have some kind of boundaries. And God expects you to prayerfully consider those boundaries. Let Him be the one to choose them for you so that you can raise your family to the honor and glory of God. And as you walk in integrity in those boundaries, God will bless you and your children after you. As always, if you have questions, you can see me, see my wife. If you have questions about how to train your child to stay within the boundaries, listen, speak to us. We'd love to help you with that. I think the Lord has taught us some things. We didn't do it perfectly, but we were able to see the Lord really change things in a great way once we grabbed a hold of some of these principles. And I hope they will be a blessing to you. Now, tomorrow night, we'll finish up the fifth lesson in our Family Life series, and it will be on proper roles in the home and how that is the key to being able to have a home that runs efficiently. Let's pray, and then we'll be done for tonight. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity for me to be able to preach your word to your people, to be able to share with them some thoughts that you've given me regarding boundaries. And now, dear Lord, I pray that you would please help each and every family to be able to know what the boundaries are that you want them to have. Lord, give them humility and a willingness to put the boundaries where they should be and to enforce them with kindness and love and grace. Lord, I pray that you give every dad the backbone and the willingness to lead in this area. Give the mom grace and a willingness to lead the children and to follow as dad leads. Lord, I ask that you'd help them with that. And Lord, would you give the children an obedient spirit? Would you take away any rebellion? And Lord, would you allow that this would be a life changer and a game changer for many homes where they're able to go from frustration to joy and rejoicing in the home? And I thank you, Lord, that you will. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you and God bless.